here once everything goes on. Had a rough week, so now everybody's just kind of laid back a little bit today. So here we go. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful day now that you've given to us here where we can come and worship you in spirit and in truth and to know your word, and we just ask you to just teach us today. Father, you know we need your help. We need you. We need you for your guidance. We need your direction here. We need your Holy Spirit to enlighten us and to teach us. Father, your Holy Spirit lives within inside of us, and we know that he can do that if we just give in. So help us just to give in to him today, not to worry about the cares of this life that's out here, Lord, and what's going to be happening after church here and things like that, but just to concentrate now on you and your word. So we just ask as we teach these lessons here, Father, on the children and the different aspects of it, that you would just help us. Help me to even learn from it too, Father, as you've been teaching me. So guide and direct that way and help us. We thank you now and praise you for all things. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. Hopefully if this works. Yes. Okay. I'll read something here to you. Pretty good. It says, "I cannot go to school today," said little Peggy Ann McKay. "I have the measles and the mumps, a gash, a rash, and purple bumps. My mouth is wet, my throat is dry, I'm going blind in my right eye. My tonsils are as big as rocks, I've counted 16 chicken pox. And there's one more, that's 17. And don't you think my face looks green? My leg is cut, my eyes are blue, it might be the instamatic flu. I cough and sneeze and gasp and choke, I'm sure that my leg is broke. My hip hurts when I move my chin, my belly button's caving in. My back is wrenched, my ankle sprained, my appendix pains each time it rains. My toes are cold and my toes are numb, I have a sliver in my thumb. My neck is stiff, my voice is weak, I hardly whisper when I speak. My tongue is filling up my mouth, I think my hair is falling out. My elbow's bent, my spine ain't straight, my temperature is 108. My brain is shrunk, I cannot hear, there's a hole inside my ear. I have a hangnail, and my heart is, what? What's that? What's that you say? You say today is Saturday? Goodbye, I'm going out to play." I thought that was pretty good. I mean, kids never say anything like that to you or teach you anything like that. Go to Proverbs chapter 4, first of all. Proverbs chapter 4. The scripture teaches that the heart is the control center for your life. And it definitely is the heart's the control center. A person's life mirrors his heart. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So your heart, it's what comes out of your heart is just what you are. Behavior problems is what comes out of the heart. We're going to prove this to you. We're going to show you. You think that just getting the behavior issues settled is the key, but it's not. It's a heart issue, and it's something that we need to work on. Jeremiah 17:9, you know that verse, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Okay, so it's the heart. It's the heart that. And it's like I told you, I think it was last week when we were talking about the training of children. Remember what you used to be like before you were saved. What changed? Your heart. You gave it to Christ. You changed. You're completely different. You're supposed to be completely different anyhow. It's pretty amazing to me that I get lately, I don't understand it, but lately I certainly been able to bring the Bible forth at work to a bunch of people. You know, and some of these people, talking to an inspector the other day, and they told me about that they were a Baptist, they're saved, Sunday school teacher all this time, but yet still having problems with social drinking. I said that I just gave them some verses and told them that, you know, you're supposed to be changed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's... That's what I told them. And I said, you know, we're supposed to be, we're supposed to be different now. We're supposed to be changed. And, you know, when these people come and say to you, you know, let's go do this, let's go do that, you can say to them, which I say all the time, I got one guy that he knows. He knows exactly what I stand for because he's heard us talking already. And he comes, come on, let's go to the bar. I said, I don't drink. When do you no good? You know, why should I go to the bar when I don't drink? I said, that's stupid. And he told me one time that his mother, he goes to church now and again with his mother. And the first time that he went to church, he said his mother came out to church, him and his mother came out to church, and she looked up at the steeple and says, it's still there. So, you know, he's just, you know, he has nothing to do with church and things like that. He's just one of them guys that's just a booze hound and everything else. But that's what's coming out of him. That's what's within him, you see. What was within you before you changed, you know? Are you changed, you know? That's the key to it, you know? Are you changed or you still have that old life in you? Some of that old life is still in you. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Now, don't get me wrong on that. I'm not saying that you completely, I mean, you're just completely holy and everything else like that. You're still living in this fleshly body, you know? And it's the heart is it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life come out of the heart, you know. And that's what it is with children, the same thing. The behavior a person exhibits is an expression of the overflow of the heart. The behavior problem. That was many of you guys that gave me your questions. The behavior problem was just one of the questions that you said to me about, you know, and this is where it led me, and this is where we're going to be going with this for a while. You can say it like this: the heart determines behavior. The heart determines behavior. What you say and what you do express the orientation of your heart. Jesus talked about this. Go back to Mark chapter 7. Jesus talked about this. He says about this, what you say and do, this is what the heart determines. You know, it's the orientation of the heart. Mark chapter 7, verse 20, he starts out here. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, you see that? That comes out of the man. That defileth the man. For from within, that's in the heart of man, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. It's what's within you. It's what, if you want to put it this way, it's what you're born with. It's what them children of yours are born with. It's passed on from generation to generation to generation. You know where it started. We've talked about it back in the Garden of Eden. And it is consistent the whole time. And, you know, these are some of the things that he talked about. Go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The thoughts of his heart, the imaginations and the thoughts of his heart, he says, were evil continually. And he couldn't take it anymore. Genesis 8:21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. He killed everything with the flood except for Noah and his family. I just wonder what, you know, if he would have just said, which he did say, that all this stuff, you know, that the imagination of the hearts and stuff, everything was evil. He said back in Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, he said, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth. And it grieved him at his heart. What if he'd have said, not even Noah, I'm wiping man off the face of the earth. Sometimes I just wonder, the way everything's going today would have been the better thing for him to do with everything that's going on. You think about it. I mean, everything that's going on. People can't understand. There's even people that are unsaved that can't understand these laws that they just passed. Given this Supreme Court all this privilege and stuff. The Supreme Court started out as not having any kind of privileges whatsoever. This is all wrong that is going on today. You watch. You keep it in the back of your mind. If it keeps up, you're not going to even have a constitution of the United States. They're going to get rid of it completely. Everything that this nation was born and founded on. And where's it coming from? Jesus, God says from within the heart. Guess who has the stronghold of it? The God of this universe today. The devil. Anything that he can do, he's doing it. And like I say, people don't understand some of this. Even like I said, even unsaved people. There's unsaved people that's FaceTiming my wife and stuff and saying about some of this stuff. But she gave them the verse where God said that he's going to turn them over to a reprobate mind. It's done. I don't think that's something that's coming. I think he's done it. That reprobate mind stuff has been changed. Look at it. You can't tell me that that's something that's coming when everything that's going on today, and everything's a reprobate mind, so it has to be. And you know, if Obama would run for the third term, like he's trying to, these so-called people, I won't call them idiots in front of you, but these so-called people would put him back in office. They're that reprobated, their mind is that gone, that they would do something like that. They think he's great. You see, and it all stems and comes from the heart. It's that heart problem. It's that problem that he says here. He showed here in Mark chapter 7 all the different things that comes from within the heart. You know, it comes from out of the heart. All this wickedness, all this deceit, blasphemy, this pride that we have today, this stupid foolishness. And he says all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Matthew 23. I didn't write my verses down this week because somebody told me that they just can't follow it. It's better that if everybody reads it together. So that's why I'm doing this. And now she's not in here anyhow. But maybe it is. Maybe it is better that you see these verses like this here, and maybe it might be better. So. For time's sake, that's why I was doing it, but it doesn't matter. We're not going to worry about the time. So Matthew 23, starting at verse 25, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Look at your churches today. Do you see the same thing? They look good on the outside, but what's inside? Your children may look good on the outside, but what's on the inside? See what I mean? See what I'm talking about? It comes from within, you know. You can look good on the outside, but what's on the inside of you? You know, that's just it. These are the things why, you know, that I started out the way I did with the Colossians. You know, want to make sure that we're right. We're right. I got more to say about that, but it's going to be a different verse, so we'll get into that. So the heart determines behavior. Okay. You wonder why your kids are the way they are sometimes. And this is the purpose of this, to show you. This is what it is. The heart is the behavior. What your child says and does is a reflection of what is in their heart. Luke chapter 45. No, Luke chapter 6, verse 45. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 6. I didn't think that sounded right. Luke chapter 6, 45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So he's saying here, you know, that a good man out of a good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man that bringeth out of his evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Matthew 12. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So, I mean, that's plain there and simple that he says. So, a good man, the things that are coming out of his mouth that should be good things, an evil man, the things that come out of his mouth are evil. You've been around people already, that the way they talk and some of the different aspects of it, and you can see these things. Oh, let's read some verses here. Pastor, Psalm 71, 15 to 18. Nadley, Proverbs 15, 23. Corby, Proverbs 22, 17 and 18. Van, John 7, 38. Danny, Ephesians 4, 29. Mrs. Johnson, Colossians 4, 6. Let's see, Amy, 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. Chad, go to Colossians 3, 16. Let me come up here to the front. Nate, go to Hebrews 8, 10. Sarah, would you go to Psalm 12, 2 to 4? Jennifer, Psalm 41, 6. Ben, Psalm 52. 2 to 4. Let's see. Elizabeth, Psalm 64, 3 to 8. And we'll stop right there. I'll go to that one.
Psalm 71, 15 to 18. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, you gave this on purpose. O God, forsake me not until I have thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every man.
He says there, all you old gray hair men, you see that? You're to bring forth this stuff, these good things that you have learned. Bring it forth, he says. You know, it's just something. I was going to read that myself. I thought, then I was looking here and I thought, I must have gave that to somebody else. But anyhow, that's what he's telling you. That's a good man. What a good man does. Proverbs 15:23.
A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it?
Proverbs 22:17-18. John 7:38.
He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Out of his belly shall flow living rivers of water. That's knowing the Lord. I want you to get this. I want you to get that it's only through Christ that you can raise your children the way that you want them to do. You can't do it as a human being. It's going to be what you do it, you know, as a human being. But it's through Christ. The pastor has stressed this, and I want to stress this. It's only through Jesus Christ. And out of the belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Get it? That's what it's all about. Everything that I'm going to be going over, all these lessons and all this stuff, you've got to bring it back to the Word of God. You've got to bring it back through Christ. Yes, it's tough, but yes, you can do it. Okay, Ephesians 4:29. Go ahead. No, you're not. But yes.
But that's what we want. That's what
yes.
We're striving for. That connection with the bond.
Yes. Yes.
Not necessarily just something that's out there somewhere through Christ. No, it's a relationship with us and stuff coming out of our mouth all the time, even between the husband and the wife that is right.
Mm-hmm.
When nobody else is around, even
mm-hmm.
our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Yes. Yes. That's the only thing. You know, it's the only way. You know, that's just it. We have to be right ourselves. And that's why I went over this. If we're not right ourselves, you can't bring your children up right. You're going to be what Jesus was talking about there about them scribes and Pharisees. You're a hypocrite. Exactly, that's what you are. If you don't do this, you know, if you're not right with the Lord, you're not right yourself, you can't try to teach your kids to be right, and you're not right. That's something you just have to get. You can't go out here into this job market and you're out here and working amongst these people. And if you're not right, you're trying to set an example, but yet you have a problem with social drinking and things like that there. Don't you think they're going to pick up on something like that pretty quick, especially if you talk about it? Your attitude out here, oh yes, don't get me wrong, there's times. The other day I was sitting on I'm running a mill machine, and I'm sitting on the mill machine, and we have this one guy, that he's sweeping with a broom on a tractor. It's a big broom, and I mean dust flies every place. But the man, he's been doing this for 30-some years, running equipment. Now, don't you think that you would have respect for the person that's right ahead of you instead of sweeping that dust right into the man that's sitting on that machine and you cannot see absolutely, positively nothing? Don't you think that you would have respect for that person and sweep it the other way? Duh, he's not smart enough. But after the third time, I had to sit there and I just shut the machine down. I sit there, I cooled down, I calmed myself, and then I went back at it without saying a word. Because see, what we're talking here, if you see this here, a good man and an evil man, everything that is coming out of the mouth. So be careful. So, you know, like I say, you have to be right out here too. If you're trying to set an example, which this person the other day was trying to tell me, you know, that they're trying to set an example out here for these people, but yet you're not setting an example. Some of the things that they told me and some of the things that, you know, they told me, don't say nothing to nobody, which then after a while that you hear somebody come and tell you what they said, you think, whoa, you said don't tell nobody, but yet you have? You know, things I don't understand, but, you know, that's just the way it is. So, you know, yes, just what you're saying there. That's, you know, we have to be. We have to have that relationship. We have to have that fellowship with God, you know. And it's just like this person told me, you know, about, I said, you know, that she said that she was getting away from reading her Bible. I said, you got to read your word every day. You know, that's your strength. That's what helps you make it through. That's what helps me make it through. I said, I get up every morning. I get up an hour early so that I can read. I don't have to. That'd be nice just to lay in bed for that extra hour, but I don't do that. I made myself do that, and I kept making myself do it, and I kept making myself do it, and I kept making myself do it till now. It's just an average, normal thing for me to do. I just get up early. I read my Bible while I'm eating my breakfast and while, you know, before anything happens and takes place. And I don't know why. It seems like maybe I'm all wet on this, but it seems like your mind is more refreshed after a night's sleep, you know. And then when you read your Bible, it seems like the Holy Spirit just shows you some things. There's lots of things that I have found already just reading it early in the morning. If I'd read that later on in the day and stuff, I probably would have never saw it. Of course, I'm not going to say that the Holy Spirit can't do that. He can do that. But it seems like that's my time where it helps me and shows me. So, you know, reading your Bible, and just studying it, you know, things that need studied out, you know. I've been listening to some so-called preachers in the mornings, and some of the things that they've been saying, I got to study it out because I know it, but I want to study it again. You know, some of this crazy stuff, it's unreal. But anyhow, that's beside the point. Okay, John 7:38. Oh, okay. Ephesians 4:29. Was that you? Okay, I'm sorry. That starts out and says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Now, how can you be a Christian and you want to set an example at a job site or at a job where you're at, and you're cussing and carrying on just the way that the rest of the guys do? What is that? What does that tell you? I've worked with a guy like that. One minute, he is preaching to you. And he knew that I had, he's one of these guys that, you know, he knew that I had my neck broke, I had my back broke, and I was in pain. So he was one of these guys that, you know, that laying on a hand, you know, that he can heal you. So he came up to me, and he's grabbing a hold of me, and I thought, I know exactly what you're trying to do, you know. And the next breath then, he's talking to these guys, and he's using God's name in vain. Now, God, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. I don't know if any of you experienced something like that or not. You may have. I do. I experience that a lot out here. And I just sit back and I wonder, wow, do they or are they truly saved? Or is it just fake? I don't know. That's just one of the things. So let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Watch yourself. When you're out here on your job and you get upset or something, you know, cool it a little bit. Think before you open this mouth, they always say. And you got to try to think. There's times, yes, I blow it. I'm not cussing or carrying on, but, you know, if somebody asks for it, sometimes I'll give it to them. We have a girl at work. Shut your mouth. I'm tired of hearing it. I've told her that the other day. Shut up. You're told to do this. Go do it. What is so difficult about that? You know, just shut your mouth. She can't shut her mouth. And they want to put women out in the workforce. That's fine. But they need to learn. Yeah, it kind of irritates you after a while when you hear it every day, every day, every day, every day. Finally, something's got to be said. The bosses, they're, I don't know what they're so scared about, you know. Tell her to shut up. Well, the one did the other day. Boy, I'll tell you how he's going to punch her right in the face. But anyhow, I won't tell you what he did, but it wasn't good. So let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Colossians 4:6. This is a good man yet. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. Wow. It's good for me too. Just the same as you, you know, all this. Okay, now, a good man has this good treasure. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Colossians 3:16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Singing with songs and spiritual songs. Isn't that something? Hebrews 8:10. He tells Israel, I'm going to put these things into their hearts and into their minds. That way, they're going to know that I am their God. And they're going to be his God. And that's what he wants with us. The same thing, you know. He wants us to be their God. Now, so we seen a good man here and the treasures of a good man. Now, let's look at what an evil man here does. Psalm 12, 2-4. You ever been around somebody that all they do is as soon as they open their mouth, they're cutting somebody else up? There's what she just read. The neighbor, you know, coming and talking. Evil man. That's all they do. Everybody they cut up constantly all the time. Psalm 41:6. See what's coming out of his heart. Psalm 52:2-4.
Thy tongue deviseth mischief, and a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, and without deceitful tongue.
And Psalm 64:3-8.
They accomplish them with an arrow, suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away.
Romans 3:13 and 14 says, their throat is an open sepulchre, and their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp, it is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. In James 3:5-8, he says, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and birds and serpents and things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So, you see what I'm talking about? The heart. What comes out of the heart? You know, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. You know, keep your heart with all diligence. You know, keep it that way. So these passages are instructive for the task of child rearing. They teach that behavior is not the basic issue. The basic issue is always what is going on in the heart. You think about that. The next time that you have one of your children goof off, do something you don't want them to do, you think it's behavior. But remember, that's what's coming out of the heart. So, you know, like I say, remember, the heart is the control center of life. Well, I'm hoping.
Sometimes you can't bring repentance. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what you do, how you approach the situation, there's still that bitterness and I'm right mentality. How do you change that? That's what she's asking. So we know it's a hard issue, but how do you reach it?
Well, I'm hoping through these lessons that I can answer that for you. Right now, it's kind of difficult, and I was afraid somebody was going to ask that question. Because I was thinking about it.
We understand that.
Yeah.
But it's what we're going through right now. We're just beating our heads against the wall.
Yeah. Any of you older people want to try to hit that a little bit?
First of all, we need to realize we aren't going to change them.
That's what I would have said. You know, don't give up on what you're doing, but just continually be consistent of what you're doing. You know, keep it up. Don't stop it, because once you stop it, they got the best of you. And then they know that no matter what, they can get the best of you.
But in the back of your mind, you wonder if what the way you're approaching it is even right at the beginning.
Well,
because you're not seeing any result, you're not seeing any change, and there's no difference. And so, whether it's Satan just putting that little doubt in your mind, it's like you wonder, well, are we beyond this type of punishment for this child, and do we need to start trying something different? And it's like, and so some aspects of us, we don't think the consistency is the way to go. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, at what point do you?
Right. I could answer. I hate to answer it this way, but you know, it's a little weird maybe to you. But what I'm thinking when you're saying this, you know, it's the same thing as somebody that's praying for somebody, you know, to get saved, and they prayed for 30 some years, you know, and or just like now for myself, I've been praying for a long time for I got two people that's on my heart. I want to see them healed from cancer. And I know God can heal. But it just doesn't seem like, it, you know, that it's happening, that anything's happening right now. And then I question myself. Am I not right? You know, maybe there's some sin in my life, and I ask for forgiveness for that kind of stuff, and et cetera, et cetera. It's in the back of my mind all the time. And it's, but I'm not going to give up on praying for that. Even if they die in their cancer, there's got to be some good come out of my prayer somewhere along the line. I don't know if that kind of, it's the same thing there I'm thinking too. Okay, I have a bunch of hands. I'll get you. Pastor was first. Pastor?
I think the first thing is we've always got to remember the free will for them. Mm-hmm. So that child has got to be willing to respond to the correction. There's nothing you can do to change that. But that's got to start with the mind. I think the second thing is like Hans stressed, be consistent. And yeah, continue to seek God. Okay, am I doing this right? Is there something that I need to change? But until God gives you some clear direction, continue to be consistent with what you're doing. And I guess, you know, last week I preached on the prodigal. And you think about that whole situation. And that father, I believe, you know, we don't know a lot about it, but I think it's safe to assume that father did all that he could try to raise that boy right. And yet, the boy still exercised his free will. Yet there came a point in time, as the father released him, that God brought that child to himself and brought him back. It's still that free will, still a factor there. You can't guarantee that they're going to come back, but you know, do the best you can, be consistent about it, continue to seek God's direction in it, and even get it in God's hands to do it.
Mm-hmm. Amy.
Because of situations and whatnot, but I think we need to continually, consistently discipline. They always must be punished for their actions, even if the punishment has to change at times. I still think it must be a consistent punishment for their actions. They must have consequences for their actions. But at times we still must change what that punishment might be.
Oh yeah, I and if that's what you're, I'm not sure if that was what you were talking about, Corby. But as they grow, you definitely have to change the way of discipline and things like that there. You know, that the older they get, you know, that's just the whole thing, yes. Van.
One last thing is that Satan wants you to give up on your child.
Mm-hmm.
It is him that he's the one who injects those thoughts in our hearts and minds to give up or to quit.
Right. Right. And that's why I say, you know, don't give up on it. That's one of my main goals. You know, don't give up. Just don't give up on them. Once you give up on them, it is very difficult to bring it back. Very difficult.
I have a question, maybe not related, but occurs in our household. You have a child that antagonizes the other child, and then you get a retaliation. How do you correct correct in, I mean, we have it all the time, and I'm not sure how the correction should be made, and in what, I mean, obviously, if you could stop the guy from antagonizing, that would be the best way, but sometimes it doesn't happen, and then the retaliation, you want to punish because they're both wrong, but how do you punish in that situation, or how do you correct?
Keep that thought in mind. I have an example in the lesson for next week that maybe that can be answered, but keep that in the back of your mind. I have to stop it now. But let me get off here today with a smile on your face, okay? All of us have moments in our lives that test our courage. Taking children into a house with a white carpet is one of them. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the many aspects of this lesson here, Father. And as we're going to continue it, we just ask that you would just help today. Help us to understand. Help us to, Lord, we have young ones here that want to bring their children up. Father, we brought our children up, and we know that we did many wrong things, and we'd like to see these younger ones. They're asking and pleading, Father, for that they could do the right thing. So help us to bring that forth to them, that we'll be able to do that. And we just ask that you would just guide that way, direct that way, and let your Spirit just take full control and show us out of your Word how to do that. We're putting it into your hands, Lord, and you teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.